Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this morning's service, led today by Denise Johnson and Verity Wild. There are two additional notices today. The first one, for those of you who have not yet received a copy of the prayer diary for July 21, copies are available on the table at the front of the organ as you leave. And just a reminder that in 2 weeks' time, on the 18th of July, there will be a Jacob's Join following the morning service. Due to restrictions still being in place, it will be a bring your own picnic. Thank you. And we shall just have a short time of prayer before the service begins. Let us pray. Compassionate God, be with those who need you, the unloved, the friendless, the oppressed, the sick, the dying and the bereaved. Take your love where we can't or won't reach, and make your spirit known in the worst places and times, so that all may benefit from the sacrifice that Jesus made for humankind. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. Verity Wild is a local preacher on note, and this is her second service, so be gentle with her. We're looking forward to hearing from Verity what she has to say in a few minutes. Just a couple of things before we actually start our service. The first thing is, there's a messy church event on Saturday, the 10th of July, which is going to take place on Withygrove Park. So big thank you to everyone involved in organising that. And I believe that we need some small plastic takeaway tubs or small plastic tubs for one of the activities. So if anybody's got any spare, if you could speak to Annie, she waves at the end of the service, that would be great. She'll be outside somewhere. This morning I've been asked to read out, every Methodist church across the connection will be having this letter read out from the Reverend Sonia Hicks, who is the president of the Methodist Conference. So I brought my glasses especially. Dear friends, we wish to take this opportunity to write to you after the conference voted on the resolutions contained in the Marriage and Relationships Report. We very much appreciate that these decisions will stir up many different emotions for our siblings across the connection. There will be some who will be deeply hurt and others who will rejoice by what has been decided. Our presidential theme this year is God's Table, an invitation for all. And God's invitation is for every single one of us. The Methodist Church has held tension for many years, and as a church and a family, we must do all we can to live with contradictory convictions. This work was first reflected on back in 1992. I think I was at that conference. And we have been on this journey together since that point. During the past years, we have continued to listen to and pray for each other and remaining true to what God is saying to us. We must remember in all this to continue to hold each other in prayer and to support each other as we find a way forward, respecting our differences. It is perhaps helpful to remember that there are other issues, some of them discussed at the conference, on which we offer and hold differing and sometimes strong opinions. We live with them, and we do not allow them to impair our communion with each other. We respect each other's consciences. We exercise judgment in when to speak and when to be silent. And we hold one another in prayer. We do all this, not for our own sake, but for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the world, which urgently needs to know the power of Christ's reconciling love. Our prayer for you, beloved siblings, is that in joy or sorrow, in pain or excitement, we might continue to live within that reconciling love. Reverend Sonia Hicks, President of Conference, and Mrs. Barbara Easton, Vice President of Conference. Words to reflect on. This is our call to worship. The God of heaven has made a home on earth, and Christ dwells among us and is one with us. The highest in all creation lives amongst the least. Christ journeys with the rejected, and he welcomes the weary. Come now, all who thirst, and drink the water of life. Come now, all who hunger, and be filled with good things. Come now, all who seek, and be warmed by the fire of love. We're going to share in the song from Singing the Faith 82, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. And this talks about singing from your soul. That's kind of what we have to do, okay, at the moment. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art.
How great thou art. Let us come together in prayer. God of grace, you have made our minds, so help us to know you. You have made our hearts, so help us to love you. You have made our voices, so help us to sing your praises. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, so together we may celebrate your glory and worship you in spirit and in truth. Now let us confess our sins to God. We bow before you, O God, and we confess that we have let you down. We have turned away from you and gone our own way. We have allowed material things to dominate our lives and to occupy our minds. We are sorry, and we lay everything at your feet. We are sorry that we overcomplicate everything. Help us to learn how to be still and know that you are God. Help us to seek simplicity, to slow down and not to hurry, to require nothing more than you give, and to fear being vulnerable so that we can be complete in your presence. Amen. In September, when I was elected by the Lancashire Synod to attend Methodist Conference as a rep for the district, I was expecting to spend the week in Birmingham, chatting with friends that I hadn't seen in a while, sitting in a big conference hall with 300 people, going up to the front to speak if there was something I felt I needed to speak on. Or at least I hoped that that's what the restrictions would allow. In March, this became more certain. It was announced that with how the government roadmap was looking, conference would be able to safely take place, and the excitement started to build. These plans hit a bump in the road when the Hilton, where we were meant to be staying and having conference, made the decision that they would remain closed until September. But the conference office and the conference arrangements committee worked tirelessly, and I did not envy them. And they found a new venue just down the road at the National Conference Centre. So in May, I received volume one. Okay, nice size, some good bedtime reading material. And then I come home from university after my exams in June to volume two and three. Plenty of bedtime reading material. Over 900 pages of reports in total, because after last year, a lot of things were put off. So we had a lot to do this year. And then a week from the beginning of conference, I got a very exciting email that said the hotel that I would be staying in for the week. And then we received more news from the conference office. The government have delayed the easing of restrictions, and only 60 people can be accommodated by the conference venue. So the size of the conference meeting in person is cut to 20%, and everyone else is joining online. With the rise in cases in Lancashire, all our district chose to meet online. Not the way I expected it to happen, but best laid plans. And God does work in mysterious ways, and it's what had to happen. So logging onto Zoom at 2:15 on Saturday afternoon, I was a little bit disappointed. Rather than being in a conference hall with my friends, getting a week away in a hotel, I'm sat in my bedroom on my bed by myself. But I'm still looking forward to and hopeful of a week of good conferring, spending time with spirit-filled people. And after some formalities, we kick off the week with the presidential address. And wow, I would highly recommend to anyone who hasn't seen the presidential address or read the presidential address to go onto the Methodist Church website and you can find it, because it is very much definitely worth a watch or a read. It was moving, thought-provoking, and inspiring. And after the end, I think everyone was thinking, poor Barbara Easton having to follow that as vice president. But she stood up to the challenge, a thoughtful vice presidential address, And rather than finishing Saturday feeling a bit down and a bit lonely in my bedroom by myself, I was feeling inspired and invigorated. And then on Sunday we had the conference worship and the reception into full connection, which was moving, and it was really lovely seeing the ordinands on their very special day. And then we come to Monday, and that's where the real fun began. Lots of reports, as I've shown by my many, many pages. But some of the highlights: oversight and trusteeship, where we debated and we looked on how our churches run and how all that important things work and what changes we can make to make it more efficient. God and Love Unites Us, a difficult, long time coming, long awaited report. We heard from a lot of people, very spirit-filled, very passionate speeches, emotional speeches. Online communion, voting through that for a trial period, communion could be held online, which was particularly prominent in this age of having to do a lot of worship on Zoom. The Three Generate report, something myself that I was very passionate about, hearing the youth president, Phoebe, standing up and saying about the presidential theme, God's table and invitation to all, and how sometimes young people feel like there's not one table but two, an adult's table and a children's table. Changing Patterns of Ministry, a very exciting report about having lay pastors in our church. A highlight for me, every time we had a memorial coming from districts, we got a glimpse of the memorial secretary's room. She was on Zoom, and every time she popped up on the screen, she had a different pair of shoes in her background. Now, I don't know if people have noticed my shoes this morning, but I quite like a different pair of shoes. But it was lovely because whilst we weren't in a conference hall talking to people in person on Twitter and on WhatsApp group chats, it sparked conversation. What colour are her shoes going to be next? Are they going to be high heels? Are they going to be sandals? Are they going to be boots? Little things that made us feel like we were together as a community. As I have reflected on conference from this past year, I've actually been thinking about how it's been very different, not what was expected, but I actually felt very together with everyone in the room. And I think that's a really important reflection, because I was sat in my own in my bedroom. I was lucky that my mum was on conference as well, and I could discuss that with her when I went downstairs in the tea break. But the power of actually, through Zoom, being able to feel together as a community with 300 other people across the connection was really powerful. And finally, we elected our vice president and president delegates from the year, designates for the next year, Reverend Graham Thompson and Anthony Botang. It was an interesting conference. It was not the year that I, it was not the week that I was expecting, but it's a week that I won't forget and a week that highly valued. The hymn we're going to sing next is actually a hymn that we sang during conference that I found extremely moving and very much enjoyed, so I thought it could be shared with you this morning. Hymn number 266, Love Each Other.
This is what I what I'm asking you to do. This is why I'm moving here beside you. This is what I want my church to be. This is what I want the world to see.
The psalm reading is from Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swims the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
And the second reading is from Mark chapter 6. Verses 1 to 13, entitled The Prophet Without Honour, followed by Jesus Sends Out the 12. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's the wisdom that has been given to him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offence at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honour. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went round teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Amen.
Interesting readings this Sunday, aren't they? Part of me wanted to think, oh, maybe we'll pick something else. But no, we'll run with it. Okay. If you've got a bag or a handbag with you, I want you to just pick it up and just look inside it. If you've not got a bag or a handbag, I want you to just work out for me how many items you have in your pockets. Have a look in your bags. You've got about 20 seconds just to work out, come up with a number, how many things you've got in your bag. I don't want to see in them. If you're still counting after 20 seconds, you've got a lot of stuff in there. Okay. Anybody got more than 5 items? Keep your hands up. You got more than 10? More than 20? More than 30? More than 40? You got a big bag of sweets in there, Hazel? More than 50? My word! I'm amazed! We've only come to church this morning and some of us have got more than 50 items in our handbag. Jesus asks the 12 to come to him. He gathers them round him like Gareth Southgate did last night and said, we're going to go out and do a job. I'm going to send you out in twos and I want you to have nothing with you for the journey except a staff. Who's got a staff with them today? Well, it'll be all right then. What do we think their response was to that? We don't hear it. This is the frustrating thing to me about the Gospels. Jesus says these things. And we don't really know what people said back, but we can have a good guess. I would say, go where? With nothing? What do you want us to do in the future? But I'm tired. These might be phrases that I've actually heard over the last few weeks, not when people have been sent out on a journey, but when we've been exploring what the future might mean. Let's look at this little phrase, take nothing. Take nothing. I don't know about you guys, but over the COVID period, we've been decluttering in our house. Good. Lots of decluttering going on. And we have actually got more space in the house, more freedom to roam. We're not distracted by lots and lots of possessions. And I think there's something in that about being able to be fully present, not distracted. Pope Francis said this, "The more things I possess, the more complex my life becomes. Everything brings another concern to be tended or looked after." Interesting. Less stuff equals more freedom. And the gospel that Jesus spoke about on numerous occasions was about living to be really free. And there's something in this about take nothing, about being vulnerable and open to others, isn't there? I love it when somebody asks me to a party and I say, "What shall I bring?" And they say, "Just bring yourself." Yeah? Just bring yourself. Not because that's cheaper, but it means they actually really want you to be there. It's you they want, not all the stuff that you bring. During this pandemic experience, I have learnt, I think, the true value of human connection. I think it had been lost a bit. Human and spiritual. When all the trappings and distractions weren't there for me, I really valued people. I'm a people person anyway, but it seemed to have much more of an emphasis. And I also felt God's presence more. Though I had less, I had much more. And I'm trying to keep hold of that. This phrase of Jesus about going out and taking nothing with you came on the back of a huge block of teaching. We've heard that there were parables and then there were actions, lots of healings. And Jesus says, "No, go on, walk out the door. Don't turn around now." And in Mark's gospel, not welcome anymore. Don't be distracted. Love greatly. Embrace the future. Be gentle with each other. Support each other. Give of yourself. There is freedom in letting go. I know a few people who've recently taken up the hobby of wild swimming. Not me, of course. But people go wild swimming. So they go out in the sea or in the river or in open water. And I've heard that they talk about this freedom of being within that space, within that current. And there's something about the power of it. Has the COVID situation forced us into this point where actually we might feel restricted, but we're actually really free? Has it lost for us the trappings and made us focus on what really matters? I try to just cling on to things sometimes, even if that we had a discussion in our house the other day about a tea caddy that's absolutely battered and not great anymore, but because of sentimental value, it really means a lot to Nick and it's got to stay. But sometimes there are things that we have to let go of. And I think the COVID situation has made us think about that a little more. As a circuit, we're going to be looking at people's hopes and dreams for the future on an individual basis and on a church basis. Thinking about what it is that you've got an idea about, what it is you want to share about, what it is that you hope for this church, this place, your life, maybe the whole circuit. And also you might feel a little bit like the 12 with all their questions and doubts. And we need to hear some honesty about that. Well, what are our fears? What's worrying us? What's niggling at us? the disciples were sent out, the 12. As we came into this church today, we came in one door and we shall leave by another. For me, that has been a really powerful image of coming to this church. It doesn't happen in some other churches, but imagine that you come in one door, you have an experience this morning with all that has been in it, and you go out of this door changed by what you've experienced. Worship changes and challenges us. It should do. That's what it's here for. We're here to give all that we have to God and to receive from him. I was hoping, along with Verity, that today we would be really able to lift the roof off at Bamber Bridge and that the restrictions would have been lifted. And we are waiting for that day, and I hope I can be here for it. But having said that, we have connected. Our souls have sung, and we've heard the voice of a young leader to come. So go, feel the full liberation of God's love. We are not restricted, we are free. I'm going to let Verity lead us in our prayers.
Creator God, we pray for this world we live in and those who are being affected by the changing climate. Help us to better look after your wonderful creation so that it may flourish for generations to come. Lord, hear us. Loving God, we pray for those in our world who are suffering. Those who have lost their lives, families or friends in the aeroplane crash in the Philippines. Those who have lost their homes, are suffering from oppression or facing conflict. Grant to them your comfort and protection, that they might know you are with them. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Caring God, we pray for those in our own community who are struggling with poverty, illness, discrimination, loneliness. May you support them and show them you love them to help them through difficult times. We pray for our own church through the difficult decisions that have been made recently at the Methodist Conference, that we may live and love with contradictory convictions. And we pray for this church's messy church coming up this week. Lord, hear us. Merciful God, we pray for world leaders that you will provide them with guidance and strength. Inspire us, Lord, to seek justice for all your people. We pray for those helping with the vaccine rollout that you enable them to continue the effort to make our country and world safe. We also pray for those who feel lost, that in you they may find their way. Wonderful God, we bring these and all the prayers of our hearts together before you as we say the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
We hear hymn number 404, God's Spirit is in my heart. I invite you to stand as we hear the hymn.
house.
Spirit is in my heart. He has called me and set me apart. This is what I have to do. What I have to do. He sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And say the downtrodden free. And go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come.
Just as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you out to be my witness throughout the world, the whole of the world.
He sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free. And go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come.
Don't carry a load in your pack. You don't need two shirts on your back. God's workers can earn their own keep. Can earn their own keep.
He sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free. And go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come.
Don't worry what you have to say. Don't worry, because on that day God's Spirit will speak in your heart, will speak in your heart.
He sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell blind prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free. And go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And go tell everyone the news that God's kingdom has come.
As we end our time of worship, may the love of God be above us to shield us, beneath us to uphold us, and before us to lead us. Amen.